Gracious Lord, linger near when my life is almost gone. Hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Thank you, Hannah. That was beautiful. And thank you, Sister Timms, for playing. It's a beautiful song. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. It's somewhat of a prayer, isn't it? And we have the assurance from the Word of God that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we can depend on that. You know, He will hold our hand. He'll be with us all the way through our lifetime, and He will be with us in the crossing as well. And so we're thankful for that. I do desire an interest in your prayers today. This service is a very important service. And I'm looking forward to other people being saved and uniting with the church and being a part of our work. You know, the church is the Lord's workforce, you know. We're His body, His physical body in its resurrected form is in heaven. But we're His mystical body here on earth. And we represent Him. And we share His gospel with everyone that will listen to us. You know, the gospel is so important. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so thankful to the good Lord for this church, for every soul that's been saved under her influence. And there are many, many, many. You know, our church is nearly 100 years old. Just this is 2021, so I guess about 3 years, a little over 3 years, and the church will be celebrating its 100th anniversary. And so we're thankful for that. I want to invite your attention to a few verses of Scripture. In fact, 11 verses from the 6th chapter of the book of Romans as a Scripture lesson. And it reads like this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to conclude my reading there, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. Last week, I tried to preach on how the Lord builds his church, or the way that he builds his church and is still building his church. But today I want to talk about the importance of baptism. The importance of baptism. It's really important to take note that the Lord Jesus, when he established the church, he himself was baptized by John the Baptist. We read in the gospel as recorded by Mark, and I'm going to turn there and just read a couple of verses, maybe three verses, beginning at verse 9. And this is what it said. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus, when he began his public ministry, this marked the beginning of his public ministry. He was about 30 years old, and he walked all the way from Nazareth to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. Now, the reason why he did that, John at that time was the only one that had the authority from heaven to baptize people. The Bible said there in those days came John the Baptist in the wilderness of Judea, preaching and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And those that repented and gave evidence of repentance, gave evidence that they had been saved, that they had believed on the Lord Jesus for life and salvation, John baptized them. That was a requirement. They had to give a testimony, some kind of evidence that they had been saved. And so those John baptized. And the ones that didn't have the testimony, he didn't baptize. And so Jesus set the example, you know, by going to John to be baptized. He was the Son of God. He was going to establish his church. And he was going to be the pillar and the ground. The pillar and the ground of the church. And so he went to John to be baptized, and he received scriptural baptism. And then he began to call disciples to follow him, disciples that had been converted and baptized by John the Baptist, and he started his church. And then after Jesus had died on the cross of Calvary, he met his disciples or his church, his followers. He met them on a mountain in Galilee, and he gave to them the worldwide commission. And his commission was this: go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age, or the end of the world, I believe it says. And so Jesus commissioned the church that he had organized, made up of baptized believers, to go forth and evangelize, to go forth and do mission work, to go forth and preach the gospel so that other people would be saved. And those that were being saved, and I used this last week in my message, you know, from the second chapter of the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, there was 3,000 that were saved. And they were added to the church. And the way they were added to the church was by being baptized. Baptism is the initiation, the act of initiation into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's very important that those who are saved get baptized and that they become a part of this workforce of the Lord, this body of Christ. That has the responsibility of sharing this wonderful gospel with other people. You know, if people don't get saved, they will die in their sins. And Jesus said, if you die in your sins, you can't come where I am. And Jesus is in heaven. So it is vitally important that people get saved. And to get saved, they must hear the gospel. And must become convicted of their sins and must be regenerated. You know, before salvation, you're dead in trespasses and in sins. But in the act of salvation, there is regeneration of where new life is given. It is life from above. It is what we also call being born again. It's where you become a child of God, and you begin then to serve the Lord. And so you can be saved and not be a member of the church, you know. But you cannot be a member of the church without being baptized. Now, that's the way the Lord set it up. That was not the way, you know, we set it up. That's not the way the Baptist Church set it up. That's the way the Lord Jesus set it up. So you're saved first. And then after you're saved, then you're added to the church, to that body of baptized believers. You're added to that through the act of baptism. So it's important, ordinance that Jesus gave to the church is very important. And so As we think about this, I wanted to share this with you. The purpose, you know, of baptism now, it is not so it'll be easy, you know, to count the professions that we've had. That's not the reason for baptizing people. But the reason for baptizing them is to add them to the church. To add them to the church. So they'll be promoters of the church. Workers in the church. It's really important once you've become a member of the church that you be faithful to the church. That you attend the services. And that you support the work of the church. And because there's no work any greater than the work of the Lord's church. It's the greatest work that there is. And you know, the commission was not just in the for the people in the community where you're located. And I talked last week about the church being a local institution. It is located in communities where people live. And of course, we're to try to reach them. But the commission is to all the world. Go into all the world. And so Brother Dr. Collins, he is a wonderful representative of our church as far as missions are concerned. Everybody throughout this part of the country knows the name Dr. Mike Collins. And they know what he does for mission work and how he promotes it and how he supports it and everything. We're thankful for him and for what he, the way he represents our church. But he's not the only one that should be a good representative of our church. Every member should be a good representative of the church. And we have missions and missionaries that are scattered throughout the world. And more of our brethren are feeling the call to go to different places. You know, I remember when about the only missions we were supporting was in Japan several years ago. Now we have lots of missions, and they are so important. And it's the work of the church. So when you become a member of the church, then it's a part of your work too. That you need to support it. Now, I want to get this, and I'm not going to take a lot of time, I want to bring this in today also. You see, baptism is a pictorial ordinance. It shows a picture, you know. First of all, it is a picture of what Jesus did. Jesus came to this world, and he was crucified and buried. I suppose you know that a lot of the religious leaders and then Satan himself perhaps thought, we're rid of this man, you know, we won't have to put up with him any longer. And so they buried him. In fact, Herod sent soldiers to the cross to make sure that he was dead. And you know, the soldier, the one soldier that went, he took a spear and he pierced his side. The spear went up through his side and into his heart. And forthwith came blood and water. Pilate asked the question, are you sure that he's dead? Oh yeah, he said, I'm sure. I'm sure he's dead. I pierced his heart, you know. And so he was dead. And they took him down from the cross, Nicodemus and Joseph. They took him down from the cross, and they buried him, and they made his grave as secure as was humanly possible. It had a rolling stone that rolled, across the mouth of the grave, and then they sealed the tomb. And then they posted guards, you know, to make sure that nobody stole his body away. And so he was dead and he was buried. You see, but he rose from the dead. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And he was seen alive. He was seen alive by 500 brethren at one time. He was seen and by proved by many infallible proofs that he lived. So he was buried, but he rose from the dead. And that's what's going to happen to you, you candidates. You're going to be buried. You're going to be buried in this watery grave. And then you're going to come out of that watery grave. And that represents of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He died for your sins. He rose for your justification. And he lives today. And he's alive forevermore. But this is also a picture of what happened to you personally. Because you were dead in trespasses and in sins. And in regeneration. The Lord raised you to life. You know, you were dead, and now you are alive because of what the Lord Jesus did for you when he saved your soul. And so this is a multiple, you know, picture that we're seeing here today. Right before your eyes, you're going to experience a resurrection, you know. A burial and a resurrection. It's because of what the Lord Jesus did. Now, this lesson that I read in your hearing, I'm going to get this and I'm going to try to quit. But he said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And that means with reference to Jesus Christ and his death. You're going to be baptized with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He's the one that saves you. And then you're going to rise to walk a new life. And that's what Jesus did. He died, was buried, and he rose from the dead. And he said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so we're buried with him in like manner, you know, buried and then raised from the dead. And it's a picture of that. And he said, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, that's what this is. It's a likeness. Buried, resurrected. Jesus, you know, after he rose from the dead, he was still alive. You know, he was alive and he walked. He talked. He talked with Mary Magdalene at the grave. You know, he met the disciples. They were in a room. The doors locked. They were afraid of Herod and the soldiers, you know. So they were in that room with the door locked. And Jesus appeared in their midst. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus still lives. And he can appear to you. And I don't mean necessarily in a vision or in a, you know, you'll see a form, but the presence of the Lord, the presence of his Holy Spirit, you know, is with us. And I'll get another verse of scripture in just a minute. But he says, and knowing this, that our old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And we do have the obligation and responsibility to serve the Lord Jesus and not to serve ourselves and not to serve sin. Now, he said, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Sin will not have dominion over you. You know, Jesus said, you have eternal life if you've been saved. And that's life that will never end. It'll never end while we're living on the earth, and it'll never end after we've passed away. That is eternal life. It's forever and forever. And he said, Likewise reckon ye also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want to emphasize this. Baptism does not save you. It does not help to save you. It does not make you better saved. The work of regeneration, the work of salvation, the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart that brings conviction to repentance, that enables you to turn to the Lord Jesus in faith and put your trust in Him. That's what brings salvation. It's not baptism. We're saved by the grace of God. That means on God's part, our salvation is totally by grace. I mean, it is His unmerited favor. Not a one of us ever deserved to be saved. We did not deserve it, and we certainly can't earn it. The Bible says very plainly, it is not by works of righteousness which you have done, but it is according to His mercy that He saves us. Baptism does not save, doesn't help to save, doesn't make you better saved. It is by the grace of God, and it's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus. Jesus did what was necessary for you to get saved. You know what He did? He came to this world and He took your sins upon Himself. And He went to the cross of Calvary. And He bore your sins on the cross. That is, He paid the penalty and the punishment for your sins when He died on the cross. Jesus paid it all. You don't have to pay for your sins if you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus, because Jesus took our sins and He went to the cross. He did it willingly. He did it freely. He did it for everyone. Whosoever will, let him come, the Bible said. And it was by His death. His death on the cross was the punishment for sin. And so He paid the punishment in your behalf. And so that makes it by grace, doesn't it? That makes it absolutely free. That makes it, not cost a penny. That makes it, the gift of God. And Paul said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And it is a wonderful gift, the salvation of our souls. And so I hope, that maybe you understand what baptism is a little bit better today. I hope so. A lot of people misunderstand it. They think it has something to do with their salvation. It don't. Scriptural baptism, it has to be of a believer, somebody who has already been saved. And it has to be by the authority of local church. That's what scriptural baptism is. And it adds you to that local body, You become a part of that local church. And you have responsibilities toward that local church. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread. I hope that these young converts, I hope that they'll be steadfast. I hope they will. I believe they will. And so, with that. If you all will come, we'll retire back here and we'll make whatever preparation we need to make in order to carry out this ordinance. Brother Strode's going to lead some singing for us. We're going to continue on Facebook today. We have people that, you know, are sick and in the hospitals, and they said, oh, I hope that you'll keep the cameras rolling for the baptism. I want to see it, you know. And so we're going to keep the cameras rolling. And so if you all will come at this time, we will retire.